All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we continue on here with the list of mental attitude sins that we can engage in freely at any time you choose to do so. But we recommend that you do not. Pick up Roman numeral 4, page 2 of our notes. This area deals with mental attitude lust, coveting, typical biblical term used for lusting. A, in a sexual nature, one that people should be familiar with. Exodus 20:17. You shall not lust after or covet your neighbor's house. If you shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Job 31:9-11. If my heart has been enticed by a woman, or I have lurked at my neighbor's doorway, may my wife grind for another, and let others kneel down over her. Really, that's in the Bible? For that would be a lustful crime. To notice it all began in a mental attitude, desiring sexual activity with one who is not your wife in this regard. Moreover, it should be an iniquity punishable by judges. Our laws basically turn a blind eye to this stuff anymore. Unless somebody really upsets the important people in life, and then they'll get hung out there. But anyway, you know, all the activity, sexual activity goes on in Hollywood, in politics, etc. And you wonder, why are certain people being strung out over this and hung for it? And everybody else is doing their own thing. They upset the wrong person. Anyway, verse 12, for it will be fire that consumes to abaddon, place of destruction, and would uproot all my increase. If I have despised the claim of my male or female slaves when they file a claim against me. Jeremiah 5:7-8. Why should I pardon you regards to Israel? By God, your sons have forsaken me. Sworn by those who are not gods, when I fed them to the fool, they committed adultery and trooped to the harlot's house. They were well-fed, lusty horses. What a description. Each one neighing after his neighbor's wife. Act like animals. Shall I not punish these people, declares the Lord, on a nation such as this? Shall not avenge myself. Matthew 5:28. Jesus teaching. Verse 27. You have heard that it said, you shall not commit adultery. Second commandment of the Ten Commandments. That is, having sex with one of the parties is married, but not to the person whom they're having sex with. At least one party. And he goes on to say, but I say to you that everyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Clearly, mental attitude, lust. See? Mental attitude, sin. People think that they can keep their sins hidden and just do all they want to do in their thinking. Are people that are ignorant in regards to Bible doctrine. 1 Thessalonians 4:5. Verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. That's phase 2, setting yourself apart for the service of God. That is, that you abstain from fornication, normal sexual sin, when the parties are not married. That each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, to control your sexual lust and trends, your own body, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God. The sexual free spirit attitude that the cosmos has, we are not to imitate that. So, mental attitude lust as to a sexual nature, all pretty self-explanatory there. B, lust in a spiritual or religious nature. If you maybe don't think of it in that vein, but it exists. Deuteronomy 7:25. Regards to paganism, idolatry, we are not to lust after the frills of much religious idolatry, those things that are appealing to the eye, otherwise that satiates our flesh, the graven images of their gods. Verse 25, you are to burn with fire. Jews are not to not only condone them, they are to destroy all their temples and icons, etc. You will not covet the silver or the gold that is on them. You're not to have any lust for any aspect of religious idolatry, nor take it for yourselves, lest you be snared by it. For it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Many ministries appeal to the sin nature. If you've not ever been out there in the world, if you've only been under sound doctrine, that may be something a little foreign to you. But religiosity appeals to the sin nature in some form or fashion. It can come in many ways. Through approbation, stroking one's emotions, things of this nature, putting one's names in lights, etc. We are to keep ourselves stripped of that, not allow ourselves to become enmeshed of, wow, that's a cool religion. Look what they get to do there. Look at the icons they get to wear and all these other things. Ezekiel 16:26. regards to Israel and their unfaithfulness to God. You played the whore with the Egyptians, pagans, their pagan idolatry, your lustful neighbors. Much of the pagan idolatry appealed to sexual lust as well as monetary and power, and multiplied your harlotry to make me angry. It wasn't just some isolated incident. You get involved in it and then you're stuck with it. You're deep in the trench that you've dug for yourself. Ezekiel 23:4 and following. So kind of an unusual area to look at lust, but it exists. Here in regards to code names of these women refer to the northern and southern kingdoms, Israel and Judah. Son of Man, verse 2, there were two women, the daughters of one mother, and they played the whore in Egypt. They played the whore in their youth. Their breasts were pressed, and there their virgin bosom was handled. In other words, they violated doctrine, embracing the idolatry practiced by their Egyptian neighbors. And their names were Oholah, the elder, and Oholibah, her sister. Oholah would be Israel, Judah, her sister. They became mine, and they bore sons and daughters. That's where their name Samaria is Oholah, and Jerusalem is Oholibah. So that specifically identifies. And Oholah played the harlot while she was mine. She lusted after her lovers, after the Syrians, her neighbors. See, all the frills and whistles and additional accoutrements that religiosity throws into the mix to try to attract people to their ideology and way of belief. That's the idea. They were clothed in purple, governors and officials. People of high-ranking importance will attach themselves, like to the Church of England, things of this nature. You know, people on the job want to go to the same church their boss goes to, so that they can make a wave and look good before their boss. People go to church for all kinds of reasons. Usually, it's not for the right reason, or often it's not. All then desirable young men, horsemen riding on horses, again. It all looks good. That's the idea, see. It appeals to the flesh. It appeals to the eyes. It appeals to one's emotions. But the problem is, it's void of doctrine, or it distorts doctrine in some other form or fashion. So, obviously for us today, the biggest danger in our society is not to fall into the Fundy package of denominationalism and Fundyism. We're fundamentalists. I mean, we believe that the Bible should be interpreted literally. But Fundies is a name we've given those who wouldn't have their ears tickled otherwise. Operation Q-tip. Those things that appeal to the physical senses, rather than those things that speak directly to our soul. See, the things that appeal directly to your volition, your soul, your spiritual human spirit. Again, the church is its own worst enemy, generally speaking, when it comes to malfeasance before God. Because of that, you have all kinds of additional slanderous ideas and blasphemies that are thrown at the church. So lust in the religious or spiritual world see less as to the details in life. Again, details are in and of themselves not simple. But to covet them, it's obvious not God's will for you to have, is another issue. Exodus 20:17. Again, we saw that the servants, the neighbor's house, the servants, male, female, his Corvette sitting in the garage, his ox, his donkeys. Okay, well, I got away with that one. Or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Belongs to your neighbor. God chooses to bless whom he wants to bless. And we're not to lust after these things. Ezekiel 33:31. Back to Ezekiel. As a prophet, he is to speak and communicate the truth to the nation. The prophets were not generally perceived as famous, important people in Israel. They were generally tormented, attacked, killed, murdered for standing for the truth. The romantic idea of being a prophet. Bible wipe that real idea off your mind real quick. But as for you, son of man, Ezekiel, your fellow citizens who talk about you by the walls and the doorways of the house, speak to one another, each to his brother, saying, come now and hear what the message is which comes forth from the Lord. Come to Bible class. See. Listen to the doctrine. And they come to you as people come, verse 31, and sit before you as my people and hear your words. But they do not do them. The same message that James teaches in his epistle. They're hearers, but they're not doers. See, they're not willing to apply it. For they do the lustful desires that is evidenced by their mouths. I'm going to go and accomplish myself in this profession or become advantageous economically here for this and this. That's what's always on their mind. It's not doctrine. They have other priorities, and their heart goes after their gain. They're obviously whatever titillates their flesh. Micah 2, 1 and 2. What are those who scheme iniquity, evil, who work out evil on their beds, can't sleep at night because they're constantly planning and scheming. The morning comes, they do it. They motivate themselves to go out and carry out their dastardly deeds, for it is in the power of their hands that they have the ability to do so. They covet fields and they seize them. Here, obviously, you're looking at people who have leverage in the world of wealth, power, authority. And they lust after other people's property. And they do what they can to secure possession of it in some form or fashion. While banks are considered so evil. And houses, and take them away. They rob a man in his house, a man in his inheritance. Governments. Oh, we got to set aside all this land out there for the enjoyment of everybody. You can't possess it. Oh, except when you see big industries out there doing their thing on the land, government land. that if there's some small ranchery out there with a few cows on it, we see what happens to those kind of people. Jeez, the hypocrisy. Well, that's all right. They're under a woe. And when you're under God's woe, look out. All hell will break loose eventually. Acts 20, verse 43. So, not taking advantage of one's power and position in life to cheat others, to gain the upper hand, if you will. Acts 20, 43. Again, all the scheming, etc., that shows you the mental attitude, sinning that's going on of these types. That's not going to work. It could be. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. Paul, in regards to his own ministry, keeping his own STA isolated and overruled. We'll go with that. Unless I come up with something better. 33. And then James 4:2. You less than you and I have, so you can commit mental attitude murder. Your ambus cannot obtain, so you fight and feud. You do not have because you do not ask. Your prayer life sucketh. And God withholds certain things, blessings otherwise, that He might bring about if one would just orient, be patient, and wait upon God. Mental attitude, lust, point D, as to youthful lust. There is that which is known as youthful lust. That is the impetuous nature of certain adolescents coming into adulthood, if you will. Immaturity still, but obviously physically they're able to engage in adult activity and pursuits otherwise. 2 Timothy 2:22. Exhortation to Timothy. Timothy was young chronologically. He had the gift of pastor-teacher. And Paul tells him, now flee from youthful lusts. The impatient, impetuous approach to life. And other things that the body might stir up coming of age. That's obviously not in line with pursuit of doctrine. Pursue righteousness. That's the antithesis of youthful lust. To pursue righteousness. Faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So from a pure heart, looks at youthful lust being within and then expressed. So he... this sin, lust, leads to a plethora of other sins, as many sins do. Titus 3:3 specifically mentioned. Where it's called various lusts. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient in our pre-salvation days, deceived, enslaved to various lusts. Lust often drives people. Lust for money. They'll go out there and work their fingers to the nubbins, do what they have to do to accumulate wealth. So it drives them.
various lusts and pleasures.
Funsville. Nothing wrong with having some fun. But it's all to be done in moderation according to one's discipline of doctrine in their life. Point F, lust is coined to characterize the STA. The STA is referred to as, if you will, fleshly lust. James 1, 14 and 15. Verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. God's immune to that. And any reference to God in regards to bringing about something that is sinful, enticing another in that area, is completely blasphemous. God cannot tempt. He does not tempt. The temptation comes from others, including ourselves, our own sin nature. And that's the doctrinal lesson that James has here. It is the sin nature, but each one is tempted when he is carried away or drawn away, enticed by his own lust. His STA, his sinful trend of Adam, his old sin nature, his flesh. See, his own lust. The lust salivates. It gets stimulated and it solicits, if you will, the real you, the soul, to quench its desire. And when it kicks up, etc., then you're being enticed, you're being tempted from within. People want to say, always say, the devil made me do it. Well, how about the STA? I found out in my life the STA is the culprit, the primary culprit, not that Satan's not out there and doesn't do his own thing. Then when lust has conceived, it bears sin, literally. A sexual metaphor is utilized in regards to soul giving your STA the green light and they copulate. And it bears forth sin. That is the bachelor progeny of the body. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Death for us as believers, that is temporal death. We're out of fellowship. What we're doing in that state of carnality is worthless before God. In the sense of being rewarded. So G, prayer and fellowship, the filling of the Holy Spirit, that's that acronym, what we're dealing with. Prayer and fellowship with doctrinal orientation combats lust. It is a weapon that we can utilize to restrain and refrain from lust. And again, that is James 4:2. In terms of lusting, you do not have because you do not ask. You pray about things. God wants you to pray about all things. I've heard believers say, well, God's not into the small things in life, only the big things. That's not the God I serve. That's not the God depicted in the Bible. God is interested in every little thing. If he's got the hairs on your head numbered, then he's into the minute matters of your life. See? So we're to pray about all things. And obviously legitimate desires are included in that package of prayers. You never know how long one may have to pray before about something before God brings it about. Right? You look at Zacharias and Elizabeth in regards to their children. Their child, John the Baptist. They were old. They prayed a long time for that baby. Oh, look what God bestowed upon them. So obviously, you keep the prayer channels open in petition in regards to those things that you desire, and you just be patient and faith rest, and let God work things out and bring these things about for you on your behalf. But you don't give up. Often things that we want, you pray about it, put it in God's hand, commit it to God, and about the time you kind of get over, you know, the drive, I got to have this, got to have this, and you forget about it, and bam, it happens. I've had that happen to me a few times in life. So, prayer. A prayer is an important asset. That if you don't utilize it, you're just cheating yourself. You're just hamstringing yourself in regards to your Christian life. And especially when it comes to combating the STA, instead of running on your STA, stop, rebound, and start shooting up some prayers. Yeah, well, I know the STA is strong. Even when you're doing that, you know, anger or whatever, you still rebound 1,000 times. Yeah? No telling where you'd be, though, if you didn't rebound and you didn't pray, what you might end up doing. All the potentials, the conditional potentials, when you omit certain things. So prayer is a defense. Obviously, doctrine goes along with that word, to pray in doctrine. Lust robs a believer of SG3. Again, you're out of fellowship for not faith resting, being patient and waiting upon God. You're just cheating yourself out of SG3 for enduring otherwise. 1 Corinthians 6:10. Verse 9, or do you not know that the unrighteous should not inherit the kingdom of God? How many commentaries I've run across that will skewer those words and say not enter the kingdom of God? Because that's what they're reading. That's not what it says. People, legalists use this to show that people are going to die and go to hell that are involved in these types of activities because of the activity. Not because of failure to believe in Jesus, but because of the activity. No, it says you will not inherit. They do not have the portfolio of Surpassing Grace Phase 3 and spiritual maturity and all that is associated with that. The eternal rewards that God has for those believers who will do it right, etc. So, inheritance. Jesus Christ inherits all things. He is the Creator. So by right, He inherits all things. He will share that inheritance with us. He will bring it with Him. When He comes to meet the church at the rapture. And He will dispense it accordingly. And SE activity robs us of SG3 when we're out of fellowship. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals. Even acting effeminate as a male is a sin. The limp-wristed, list-talking, you know what? Just to action in and of themselves is a sin. Nor thieves, nor the covetous, those who lust, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. Especially when it's run unbridled, their account, SG3 account, will be empty. See, they don't learn to deal with it, isolate it, get in fellowship, and overrule their sin natures. We're given the means to isolate the sin nature and be victorious over the sin nature in phase 2. through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, that's verse 11. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, set apart, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. And it's God the Holy Spirit and His role. Ephesians 5:5. For this, you know with certainty that every immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an adulterer has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Again, the same principle repeated. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go early today. I've had enough. I'm going to go out and make a snowman. Yeah, right. We'll pick this up Tuesday. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light us to these things in Jesus' name. Amen.